following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, Refuge. This is our Refuge Daily for Thursday. Sorry that it's coming again late. We've been having some major issues with our internet here in the office this last week. So we're trying to work on that and get it going. But until then, we'll still be getting the Refuge Daily videos up. They just might be coming slightly later than straight at noon. We're working on that, and we apologize for that. I wanted to actually start a series. I'm going to be going through here on Refuge Daily whenever I get a chance to share here, going through the Sermon on the Mount. One of the greatest things, last time I taught it, we actually entitled the series Best Sermon Ever. The best sermon ever, because without a doubt, it is, I've heard some great sermons, and then there's sermons I've listened to over and over and over again, but this is by far the best. And the sermon is for us as believers. When Jesus gave this sermon, it wasn't a some ideal that, you know, you'll never be able to obtain, but it's okay, because I'll give you grace. But this is what God actually does expect for us as believers. This is not some new law, you know, out with the Ten Commandments and in with the Sermon on the Mount, but instead it's a description of how we should live our lives. How should we fulfill the law that God has given us to live out? And, you know, if we are, as the scripture says here, even in the Sermon on the Mount, the salt and light, this is how we're going to act. And so, you know, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, right at the very beginning and right before it, it says in Matthew 4 that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then afterwards, and you get to Matthew 9, it says that Jesus went throughout all the towns teaching in their synagogues, again, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And I kind of describe this as, this is a sandwich here. You've got the two thin slices of bread there that says this thing, that he went throughout the synagogues teaching, proclaiming the good news and healing people. And right in the middle of it, the good meat of that sandwich is this sermon, the teachings of Jesus, and then the stories of his miracles. And so this is the main message that Jesus taught. And it starts with a series of things that are called the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes, these are blessings. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? When it says throughout here, you'll see it over and over again, blessed is the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed means how happy, how content. And it's not just this happiness of like, oh my gosh, I got something nice today, I'm so happy, but a happiness that goes beyond our circumstances, a joy. How filled with joy is the person who, and then it goes on to describe them. You know, we tend to pursue happiness in life. Everybody does. Everybody focuses on happiness. Why do we do the things that we do? Because they make us feel good for the time. You know, they bring smiles to our faces. They make us laugh. But all of those things are for just a time, right? We feel good for a time, and then we need to do it again. Or they bring a smile to our face for a time, and then we need another laugh. The whole world is longing for happiness, but how we pursue it, honestly, is tragic. How we pursue it as a world, we try and avoid life's difficulties. We're going to be happy. We need to be like this person. We need to follow this trend, and that's what's going to make us happy. But oftentimes, it just adds to our misery. Now, I recently looked up the top accounts on Instagram, and it was rather interesting when you look through it. In the top 25 accounts on Instagram, okay, you have 11 singers, five sport pages, Nike and four different soccer players, five Kardashians, two non-musician actors, a comedian, and Victoria's Secret. There's actually one other one that's the only one that I follow, and it's National Geographic. Those are the top 25 things. People pursue this and look at this and say, this is where we need to find our meaning, our purpose, our happiness, our joy. But really, that's where sin comes in, because we start comparing ourselves to others and being like, well, I don't have that, and start coveting. Or we drive ourselves to extremes to try and reach that, thinking that we're going to be happy. But instead, we look at the Sermon on the Mount, we come here and it says, if you really want to be happy, here is the way. This is the type of person who is happy, who is truly blessed, who is filled with joy. This is the type of person who should be congratulated, envied, because they are the ones that are truly happy. And the reason that these Beatitudes are at the very front of the Sermon on the Mount is this: that God is more interested in our character than in our obedience to an outward conduct. Now, that's important. Our outward conduct is important, but what's more important is what's inside, what's in our heart first. Before we can outwardly, you can obey with a terrible heart, right? We can be obedient to some outward law and the whole time be angry inside and bitter that we have to do that. But if our character is correct, then our outward actions will be as well. Now, all Christians are to be like this. All Christians are to look at the Sermon on the Mount and say, this is how we should live. And this isn't just the good ones, but all of them. Meaning, I mean, think how scary this could be. Christians should mourn. Christians should be poor in spirit. Christians should be persecuted. This is the way that Jesus says that we will be blessed and happy and filled with joy. And all Christians are to show these characteristics. It's not like, oh, well, some are poor in spirit, some are mourning, some are peacemakers. No, we need to all be all of these things. And we'll see how they all fit together as we go through them. Each time I'm up, we'll go through some more of the Beatitudes. But let's be honest, these are not our normal tendencies, right? Who wants to be poor in spirit? Who wants to be meek? Who wants to be, you know, merciful? We want vengeance. We want to show our power and strength. We don't want to be poor in spirit. We want to be proud. This may not be who we are naturally, but we can be this way through Christ. We're not called to emulate or to force these things into our life, but when we're focusing on Christ, these things will come naturally. It's like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. They're produced in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite object lessons involves fake fruit. And I've used this many times in youth ministry. I actually got it from a friend of mine, Chris, who uses it all the time. Fake fruit, you get fake grapes, and you have someone, you try and catch one in your mouth, right? You toss one out into the crowd, and they catch it in their mouth, and they find out it's fake, it's rubber. And the whole point is, you can look good, but it's not real. It's fake. You can't manufacture fruit. Fruit is grown. And the same thing is about these characteristics in our lives. We can't manufacture them. We can't force them. But we can allow them to grow in our hearts. Okay? Now, these are going to show a huge difference between the Christian view and the non-Christian worldview. We're completely different. We admire different things. It says here that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we'll get into all of these. But think about this. Christians should admire those who are poor in spirit. But the world despises such a person. A Christian who is poor in spirit will be called weak, a sissy, and other names, because what do we value instead? Self-confidence, self-reliance, pride. Again, look at those most popular feeds. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? Wealth, money, status, publicity? No. Righteousness. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness, who hunger and thirst for it. It's about being right with God. I mean, look at the values that Jesus says that we are blessed if we are poor in spirit, if we mourn, if we are meek, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, if we are merciful, if we're pure in heart, if we're peacemakers, if we are persecuted. You put that alongside with the world values of self-confidence and self-reliance and pleasure-seeking and power and being satisfied and practical, being able to take care of yourselves and looking out for number one, being sophisticated, broad-minded, competitive, aggressive, being popular. You know, you don't rock the boat, right? This is what the world admires. But if we admire different things, guess what? We're going to pursue things differently. We're going to be different than the world. A life lived by a Christian will be completely different from a life that's lived by a non-believer. The world says, this is the only world. I'm going to get out of it what I can get. But the Christian says, this is not the only world. I'm from another world, and I have all that I need there. The first and the last Beatitudes, if you look through, they promise the same thing, the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus starts and ends with this promise, because the first thing we need to realize about ourselves is that we belong to a different kingdom. We belong to a different country. We live in this world, but this is not where we are from. We are citizens of another country. I pledge my allegiance to the King of Kings, not the country that I live in. There is a coming kingdom. And when Christ returns, he will bring his kingdom and will rule over the earth as king. We call it heaven, but it's heaven and earth, a new earth restored to what it was supposed to be. But it's also here right now. The kingdom of God is present in our lives and in the lives of all who are true believers. In Colossians 1, it says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." And in Philippians 3, it says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." So as we look at these Beatitudes, we're going to see just how different a Christian is from a non-Christian. And we're going to ask ourselves these questions. Do we belong to this kingdom? Are we ruled by Christ? Is he our King and Lord? Do we see these qualities in our life? And are we blessed? Are we happy, content, and filled with joy? Our immediate reaction to these Beatitudes can reveal a truth about us. If we sit there and say, no way, this is not for me, then it means we're not a believer. We're not following the Lord. But if you want to be like this, even if you aren't there yet, but you're like, but I want that, it shows that you are a child of God. It shows that you have the Holy Spirit working in you and producing in you these fruits. So we're going to dive into these as we continue through the Refuge Daily. And next time I'm up, we'll be going right into the first one. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? But I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity where we can gather together to study your word, to grow, to understand what you have to say to us. And as we get into the Sermon on the Mount and specifically the Beatitudes, may you be glorified. May you be lifted high during this time. May we truly walk according to the precepts that you lay out in the best sermon ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.